Everyone can hear me? I'm loud enough? Okay, great. So first of all, welcome to the first Chazar Shir on the first Sogya. I'm excited to be giving it and to be with all of you. Now, I wanted to begin with just a few broader notes. So the first is that in general, the purpose of Chazar Shir is not to be an exhaustive survey of everything we discussed in the Sogya, but really to try to provide a structure for how how to kind of take the huge amount of information that Rav Rosenzweig presented and to put it into like a coherent framework and to understand like what the broader mahalach is. So therefore, it's not going to be touching on every shita, and even some things which he discussed for a decent amount of time might not even be in it, because it's really trying to provide a structure mahalach. And so that's why we have the shitoshi, which is helpful for that, and also keeping track for the Bechina, which has both Shitot and essays on it. The other thing I would just say about Chazar Shir, definitely chime in if you have like a clarification question, but usually we try to reserve the questions of like more Iyun questions for the Beit Midrash, to try to keep things going and moving here. Okay, so now just a few points about Rav Rosenzweig. I like to think about how the sugya reflects Rav Rosenzweig's methodology, and hopefully that'll be helpful throughout the year to kind of frame the sugya in this way. So broadly speaking, for Rav Rosenzweig, there are really two different types of sugya. First type of sugya is a mahalach sugya. Mahalach sugya is when, even though it's a Rosenzweig, so we're obviously going to present different options, there's really one primary approach in the sugya that we want to adopt, that we want to take. And this sugya is a mahalach sugya, that there's going to be one mahalach which we really preferred and we really tried to push through, even though, of course, we acknowledged other ones as well. The other type of sugya is a multi-systemic sugya, where you have different systems or models, and we're not really showing a preference for one in particular, but really what we're doing is we are sort of exploring or surveying the different approaches. I also think this is just a very good sugya because you see a Rosenzweig sensitivity to the Rambam in terms of his placement and his formulations. So this is a great sugya. And also, a little bit, he also did, I think, something very characteristic, which he tried to integrate some of the Ta'am into the Lamdas, which is a point I won't delve as much into. Okay, now to get to the actual Tochen. And again, just please chime in with any questions. I think better just to interrupt than the chat, but I guess whatever you feel most comfortable with. So I always like to try to frame the sugyo with a question. I think that's helpful for trying to think about how does everything in the sugyo connect. You try to frame it with a question. And so usually we do this at the beginning of every Chazar Shir, and we'll do this today as well. So I think the question we were really trying to discuss in the sugyo is, what is the relationship between chametz and other machalos asuros? Meaning, how does the Isra of chametz stack up against other machalos asuros? And obviously that's going to relate to its Isra's man status and other things. So in order to address this question, I'd like to break up this Chazar Shir into six different sections. The first is to try to provide a background to how we got into this issue. The second is a discussion of the nature of the Isra Chametz. What is the nature of the prohibition of eating chametz or owning chametz? The third section is going to be trying to pin down these conceptual perspectives into specific shito. In that section, we'll also discuss some of the tam for these perspectives as well. The fourth section is to discuss, there's a phrase that previous shir systems have used, which is like impacted issues. So sort of like nafkamino. The fourth section will be about nafkamino or impacted issues. The fifth section is going to be about the Shitas HaRambam and his perspective and approach. And finally, and this is not just a throw-in, it's a very important, closely related issue, is how do we look at the Isra Chametz on Pesach and the rest of the year? And what's sort of the status of the Isra Chametz on Pesach? And so just before we get into the first section, as a caveat, when we talk about machalos asuros, of course, we're not saying that every type of machalos asuros is uniform. It's just a way to classify a large amount to be surim, but there's obviously different characteristics of the various machalos asuros in terms of punishment and the when, what time of year, the makom. So there's a lot of different, or a lot of distinctions between machalos asuros, but here we're just speaking very broadly about machalos asuros as a classification. So let's begin with the first section, some background. So the Mishnah on Pesachim, Beis Amin Aleph, opens with a discussion of the obligation of Bedikas Chameis, which takes place on the Leil Yudalet. So there's a debate between Rashi and Tosfos Al-Atar regarding the purpose of this Bedika. Rashi says we do Bedika in order to avoid Bal Yirah, Bal Yematzeh. The Tosfos disagrees because in order to avoid Bal Yirah, Bal Yematzeh, just bitul chametz would suffice. You don't need anything more than that. So therefore, the Ri and Tosos contends that really bedika is just a chumra derabanan in order to avoid achila. And so this prompts a broader question that's asked more narrowly in Tosfos and more forcefully and widely by the Radvaz. And the Radvaz has the famous Manishtana question. He says, Manishtana chametz of Pesach mikol yisurin sheba Torah. What's different about chametz of Pesach from all the other isurin sheba Torah? Shech mira alav Torah la'atzricho bedika, that the Torah was so machmir that it needed bedika, b'siruf, b'kala, b'gam bitul, b'hosiv l'cham la'atzricho bedika, b'chorin, b'stakin, some of all the various different chumrah, the full expansive list, b'lachapi sachar, b'shari sosom, b'kol gvul, b'v'avar alav b'ayra, b'ali matzei, b'chazir b'chol shu, b'imit bat el klal, and this is something that's totally unique, it's totally sui generis, it's not found anywhere else in the Torah, this level of chumrah. And so, of course, whenever a parshan asks the Manishtana question, it's very important, right? Because, you know, it's trying to ask, why is this subject unique? And are those differences rule breakers? Are they actually unique? Or are they different just for technical reasons? So what does it reflect? So it's highlighting or isolating the differences between this category and others, and it's trying to show what is the nature of Isser Chameitz. We also just want to mention, right, that, you know, it has all these Chamordinim, but ironically, it's also Mutzer Kol Hashana. So how can these both of these things be true? And obviously, we're going to need to address that. So because of all this, we asked, how does Isser Chameitz on Pesach stack up to the other Machalos Asuros? So here we can point to 2.5 options, and I'll explain what I mean. The first approach is that chametz is actually more kal than other machalos asuros. And the way we sort of reference this is that the chumrot and stuff are overcompensation. So chametz is more kal. Either it's more kal, or at least psychologically people think it's more kal, but certainly it's not more chamor than other machalos asuros, and it's and basically it's more kal because during the rest of the year it's totally fine, it's mutter. So if during the rest of the year it's totally mutter, and you know alechem levado yichay adam, right, it's hard to think about it, is all of a sudden this one week of the year, this thing that we eat, the staple of our diet, all of a sudden became, you know, this toeva, this disgusting, horrible thing. And so, therefore, we think of chametz really as more kal than other machalos asuros, and that will be reflected in the various halachot. Okay. The second approach is that chametz is actually more chamor than other machalos asuros. And therefore, all these extra chumrot and obligations are all warranted due to the chomer ha'isser of chametz. So, yeah. And in some way, it's going to be like the anti-chag ha'matzos, the way that Rav Rosenzweig put it. Okay, that's the second approach. And we're going to pin all these down in Shito shortly. The third approach, which I call sort of like a half approach, was something that we didn't really delve into so much. It's more of, I think, for now, and we will get into it more, I think, during the continuation of the year. But I think for now, it's sort of more like a meta point. So Rav Rosenzweig basically presented a third option where both of the first two are true. Chametz is a singular iser. On the one hand, it's more chamer, and on the other hand, it's also more kal. So basically, the way I would put it is that it's not inconceivable that you'd have some deem of chametz actually related to the, you know, the kalos, it being a more lenient prohibition then you can have that while on the other hand also having more chumrah that are related to the chomer ha'iser. And so like you could have lo bedili inshiminei and the basis for bedika in theory, or like, you know, you need a reinforcement for chatzi shir, but you could also have an approach that, you know, bali ra'a bali matzeh is a really chamor. Meaning it's because chametz is mutter kol hashana and only asus 1 week, it would make sense that we might have both chamrot and kulot. And we won't get into this as much now, because it's sort of a meta point, but it's the idea that in theory you could have both of these due to the nature of chametz. So we're sort of going to put that aside for now. We'll table it for probably further discussion during the year. Okay, so that was the second section. The third section is we want to actually try to pin down these conceptual options into shito. So to illustrate this, you know, we'll point to a few different shito. So for the first sad, that chametz is actually more kal, we can point to the first answer in Tosfos on Beis Amar Aleph. Right, Tosfos answers, okay, let me get my Gemara for a second. So Tosfos answers on Beis Amar Aleph regarding the more narrow question of the Radvaz, says, why is it more chumer here than Shari Sur and Sheva Torah? So he says, because... and the key line, meaning people aren't going to stay away from chametz because the whole year it's mutter. And so just because it's usher these 7 days doesn't mean people are going to stay away from it. And so therefore, to compensate for the general, you know, kulot of chametz, we need to overcompensate with all these chumrot and yisurim. Okay. So that's the first view. That's one sheet that I think that we pretty easily could pin it down into. So for the second side, I'm going to try to throw in a number of sheet out here. So chametz is more chamer. It's the chomer iser. So a first makor we could point to here is Tosfos, the second answer in Tosfos. Tosfos says that the reason is shiny chametz shechmir bo torah lav rolav bali ra'a bali matzeh. So the Torah was so machmir for Bali Roy and Bali Matzeh, and that's a reflection that chametz is very chamor, and therefore all these other isurim and unique prohibitions, all of those are reflections of the chumrah of chametz. And that's Tosos's second approach. We just noted that these two approaches in Tosos are not necessarily mutually exclusive. You should look at the Mordechai. The Mordechai conjoins the first answer of Tosos with the with the onesh of kares. And basically, we said that maybe that's the Mordechai's way of conjoining both of those. And, you know, we discussed that a little bit more, how to understand the Mordechai. But basically, the simple point is that those two answers don't have to be mutually exclusive. Okay. A second makor we could point to for this more, the Chomer HaIsser idea, is the Midrash Seichel Tov. So the Midrash Seichel Tov has this formulation that, here, let me get it. He says, "Shemitzvahs chametz chamurahi v'chayavin ala makos b'chachos mikazayis v'karis mikazayis." Yeah. So basically, and that's why you need to go search after it on the night of the 14th and the Hashbis. So Midrash Seichel Tov is also a clear makor that there's a chomer to the iser of chametz vis-a-vis other machalos asuros. A third makor is the Ritva. So the Ritva is actually a very clear one. The Ritva says, "Mata mikvida Torah b'vira chametz yoser mishari surin." Why are we more chamor by chametz from shari surin? So interestingly, the Ritva actually invokes the fact that chametz is talei bizman. So he says, therefore, because it's talei bizman, ra'u chazal shechmira Torah kol kach. They saw the Torah so machmir on the 7 days. It's aser. Therefore, you need to have all these other chumrot. Okay. So that's the Ritva Shita. Clearly, again, that chametz is more chamor. But interestingly, the Ritva kind of invokes this Isser Zman as a basis to be more chamor. And so that's going to help us with the Radvaz. So the Radvaz, in this fascinating shoot, provides three different explanations for the chumrah of chametz. Right? Why is chametz more chamor than other machalos asuros? So the Radvaz presents three different explanations. The first one was sort of a quantitative one, which we won't be discussing. The second one was this really fascinating suggestion. So let's see, who can I? Ellie Hyman. I know you, Ellie. What was the second explanation of the Radvaz?
So the second explanation was that because it's going to be a case of, is it he brings in Davar She'yesh Lo Matirin?
Exactly. Right. So the Radbaz invokes this idea of Davar She'yesh Lo Matirin, that something is going to become, since something is going to become mutter after Pesach, or after a certain amount of time, therefore it's not, we don't say that it's mevatel into the shisha. So the Radbaz basically totally rejects this. And not just rejects this, but really, like, this doesn't make any sense. Right? This is a din in bittul. This isn't a din in like a broader, chomer, chame. This is a din in bittul. So why are you bringing this as a source, or how could this be an idea or a source for the chomer of chametz in all these other contexts? So therefore, I think because the Radbaz pushed back on this so much and thought it was so inconceivable, so Rav Rosenzweig believes that really the Radbaz is not actually saying this from his own perspective. It wasn't his own suggestion. Really, the Radbaz is actually quoting it from somebody else. It was a Masorah. He had a tradition that he mentioned, and so that's actually important, because now we have to understand, how could this, Masorah source for him, how could he have used that, or how could that whoever that person who came up with this idea was, how could that have been used to justify the Chumros of Chametz? Okay? So that was the Rosenzweig's point. And so therefore, but to think about it a little bit, Davar She'yesh Lo Matirin. How does Davar She'yesh Lo Matirin maybe reflect the Chomer of Chametz? So in general, we're going to see that the Isser's Man can be, can cause chumrot or kulo, the fact that it's mutter 7, 358 and usser 7. So here we said that maybe what the Radbaz's second answer is pointing to or alluding to is that, what is it about Davar She'yesh Lo Matirin? Davar She'yesh Lo Matirin means that it's an Isser's Man. It's usser 7 days of the year, it's mutter 358. And that is precisely why chametz is so chamor. Because during this time of the year, right, chametz represents something so terrible. And maybe this is why this fits with our Radbaz's third answer, which we'll discuss shortly, that chametz is so terrible because it's an Isser's Man, and therefore it's going to be this very expansive list of chumrot. Meaning it's precisely because of what Davar She'yesh Lo Matirin represents, that it's a 7-day Isser, and so incompatible with Chag HaPesach, that's going to be precisely why chametz is so chamor. And so that's maybe how we could explain the Radbaz's second explanation. And so here again, we see really my point here, not only so I could sneak in the second answer of the Radbaz, which I felt was important, but also to provide another source for the Chumrah of chametz. Now, we would be remiss to not mention another factor, which is there is this perspective that Ba'yirai Ba'yimatzei is a siag de oraisa. And this is a concept that comes up in different contexts. There are different times that people suggest it. The Rav Yosef Engel, I think in Lekach Tov, has a whole list of these. Yichud, maybe Yichud is a siag de oraisa. So, So we do have the Siag Min HaTorah approach. It's definitely out there. The most obvious formulation of this is the Ran. The Ran is very clear about that it's a Siag D'Oraisa. Hichmir HaTorah Bo La'avar L'Bayirai B'Alimatzei, because you want to avoid the Isser of Chametz. Right? The Ran is very strong about this. And also, there are some Achronim, I think the Pnei Yoshua, there are some Achronim who believe that this is what Tosos is saying in the second answer. The Sefer Manhig also says has something about Shel Yavol Lidei Achila, and that's also Machmir. Kesed Mishnah has this idea for the Rambam, and so I think the Rashbats as well. So Rav Rosenzweig wasn't so into this, and I think maybe for two reasons. The first one I'm sure about is that Rav Rosenzweig didn't really like these readings so much of the Rambam and Tosfos, meaning it's clearly an option. And I would say that Siag D'Oraisa also is clearly a reflection of Chomer HaIsser. The fact that something would necessitate or validate a separate biblical mitzvah because of itself, and that's clearly a Chomer HaIsser. The question is whether we want to take that route here. So I'm saying clearly it is an option, clearly reflects Chomer HaIsser, but there was two reasons why Rosenzweig wasn't so into that. So one is because he just didn't think it was a good reading of Tosfos and the Rambam. Obviously, it is out there in the Ran and elsewhere, but that was one of the reasons why he was against it in Shir. even though it's clearly an approach. But I think the second reason, maybe, I'm not sure if he was saying this or I'm saying this, but if you think about if it's just a siyag for the Isra Achila, it's actually diminishing perhaps the significance of the Isra Chametz. Why? Because it's narrowing the scope, right? Because it's not saying, oh, all of these reflect, you know, Ba'yor, Ba'y, Matzeh, and the Isra Achila, all of these reflect their own Chumr de Chametz, but really, it's all just about the Achila. So I think in that way, kind of maybe limits the scope and diminishes it. So, but I have to say, you know, the difference between Chumr and Isra, the first kind of camp we presented, and the Siyag Midat Torah, I think that also might be a more diminished significance perspective. Okay. Any questions? We're good so far? Crane, we're good? Okay, good.
Avram?
Yeah, Sam.
Yeah. Just regarding this thing that you mentioned about how it goes to being so usher on Pesach, I just want to make sure that my formulation of it is the same thing as what you're saying. Would an equivalent formulation be that it goes from being so mutter during the year that whatever Isser it has, it's like really, really usher?
I'm not sure if I would put it that way, because I think I'm not sure if I would put it that way. I think because it's I'm not sure what that's a derivative of. It's not just that it's, you know, mutter. I would say more sharply, I think it's just that because you know, it's usher during these 7 days, right? These 7 days reflect, maybe. Because like you're saying that those 7 days, if I'm understanding correctly, right, it must be so usher during that time, must be so bad if we're going to prohibit something which normally is such a staple of our diet. I'm not sure if that itself is necessarily like the most logical thing to way to put it, but I hear it. I hear it. Okay, good. Yeah, anybody else? Good. All right, so here I just wanted to bring in a section 3A, which is the ta'am for these different approaches. Okay, so here, for the first side, it's a little harder to parse out, but I think what Rosenzweig was saying, so let's say chametz is more kal. So if like chametz is really totally, you know, it's a staple of our diet, it's normal, and just on Pesach it's aser, but it's really less, you know, than regular machalos asuro. So the question is, like, why exactly is it usher? Right? Like, what, you know? So, I think that what Rosenzweig said was that maybe it's like for historical reasons that it's, you know, it's connected to Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, but really, you know, that's kind of diluted in the broader, more expansive picture of the fact that it's Mutar Kol Hashana. So you have to provide, if you're looking for Tamei Mitzvot, you have to provide some explanation for that. So maybe you say it's still usher because of, you know, the obviously Mitzrayim, leaving Mitzrayim was usher. But I think the, you know, you have to say something. I think that was the way of Rosenzweig presented it as an aside. But here we obviously have the second answer, the second side, which is a Chomer Isser. Why would Chametz be more Chamor? So here we can point to three different presentations. The Radvaz in his third answer says something very strong. Let's see, David, Geltuk, what is the Radvaz say in that third answer?
He says it's like a remez to like Yetzer Hara, something along those lines.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Do you remember like the specific what it represents?
I think he said Yetzer Hara, but
yeah,
I don't.
Okay. So you're definitely right about that. So the Radvaz says it's like he compares it to, he says it represents Seor Shebi Isa, which is basically, as Rashi says in the Gemara and Brachos, that's basically a reference, represents the Yetzer Hara. And that's why we're so machmir. This is like sort of an integration of Hashkafik, Halachic point in the Radvaz. And since it's related to the Yetzer Hara, you need to uproot all Chametz entirely. And basically the way the Radvaz frames it is like, it's sort of rivals, you know, Avodah Zarah. And like the toxicity there in the story of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is like in many ways kind of like, you know, compares to Avodah Zarah, which is very strong. Okay, so that's Radvaz's suggestion. The Tzora Chaim in the Drushos Ibn Shu'ib, if I'm pronouncing that name correctly, most importantly, Rabbeinu B'chaye, present a second approach. And that approach is that Chametz represents Midas HaDin, and Matzah represents Midas HaRachamim. And so Pesach is basically all about Midas HaRachamim. And so, to put a little more into it, So, you know, if it was all about Midas Adin, then our redemption from Egypt would be deserved. Because otherwise, you know, Bnei Israel, why were they taken out? But clearly the reason why we're taken out is because of the Haftach of Ribono Sholom, Brisbane of Sarim, and the kindness of God. And so therefore, Pesach's all about Rachamim. You know, we didn't deserve it. We were on the 50th, you know, nearly the 50th Shara Tuma. And still, Ribono Shalom took us out, and that's because of his Rachamim. And that's what Pesach represents. And therefore, we only eat matzah on Pesach, okay? But Chametz represents the Midas Hadin, and so we try to distance ourselves from that. So again, we see that there's something that Chametz represents on Pesach, which is particularly unappealing, or let's say, I guess, something about Chametz on Pesach that sort of precludes it from being an option and needs it and necessitates it being so chamor. All those chamor prohibitions. Now, Rav Rosenzweig's preferred approach here was, when we come to the Pesach Shirim, we'll actually maybe get to hear more of this, is that Chametz represents like uncontrolled growth, right? Both, you know, literally, you know, it does that, and so, or, you know, and we're saying sort of symbolically. And what happens? So when Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, you know, they're physically liberated, right? They come out. And the question is, what's going to happen now? Is it going to be unconstrained growth and the full freedom and, you know, you're basically unshackling yourselves as slaves, I think he said. And so then, you know, you're going to become totally under your own auspices. Or was the goal not just unconstrained growth, unconstrained freedom, not, you know, going and doing everything, but to become, you know, now Avdei Hashem, right? To be under the system of God, Tariag Mitzvos. And so I think in this context, Ein Lecha Ben Chor El Misha Osek B'Torah. So the idea here is that, you know, Chametz on Pesach represents this model of like kind of this unconstrained growth, and that is itself just an anathema. It's toxic to what Pesach is all about, which is becoming under the, you know, the conflicts of Shechina, not being Avdei Parah, but being Avdei Hashem. So, you know, he's supposed to be basically trying to argue that it's not just drush. Like this is the quite literally the explanation for all these chumrot by Chametz. Yeah, we'll leave it at that for now. There's much more to say about that. Mahalach, we'll leave it for now. But I think the underlying point of all of this, or the underlying idea, is that the themes that are projected on this holiday, right, in the aftermath of Yetzias Mitzrayim, are all like contingent upon this idea of the symbolism of matzah and chametz. And so the idea is that chametz during this 7-day period is totally incompatible with Pesach. And so this is, of course, going to have a lot of implications for relationship between chametz and matzah, which we'll, of course, subsequently discuss in later shirim, and also why it's so incompatible with Chag HaPesach itself. Okay, so those are the, say, three different, Tamei HaMitzvos approaches to this obligation. Okay, so now we get back to, say, some more classic Lamdos, which is our fourth section, which is Nafkaminot and Impacted Issues. Okay? Good. And if anybody has any questions, please feel free to chime in. So here, I'm going to try to present 7 nafkaminot. Of course, some of them are related. You can push back if you want about some of them, but I'm going to try to present them as 7 nafkaminot. The first nafkamina is, why does the Masechet begin with Bedika, Bedikas Chametz? So you could respond and say, 2 different things to this question. One is that there's not necessarily anything fundamental about how a Masechet opens. Sometimes a Masechet just opens for practical reasons. In fact, Tosfos, when discussing this question by why Shabbos opens with a Hotzah, he says that in Shabbos Beis Amud Aleph, he says that it's because of sequential order, right? The first stage in Pesach process is Bedikas Chametz, and so sometimes a Masechet will begin purely because of sequence, nothing more fundamental or significant than that. But there could be another way to view the opening of Masechet, and meaning there could be times where the opening of Masechet is one or the other, and that is sometimes maybe the opening of Masechet captures or represents exactly what a certain theme or idea presented there is about. And the Maharal says that about, Hotzah, by Melech HaShabbos, we won't get into that. And so what we tried to argue is that maybe, and to give another parallel for those who are here, right, by Ksuvos and Kiddushin, Rosenthal has like this famous Mahalach, Now, what's the difference between Kiddushin and Nisuin? So Kiddushin is like this very formal, defined, clear obligation, which is the oser, all the beginning of the responsibility. And it's very formal, clear, well-defined. But Nisuin, on the other hand, is not really about like specific, formal, legal things, but it's about more about haschalas chayi ha'isha. It's about beginning the life, the marital life together. Now, there's a lot more to say about this, but what I the chiddush I want to mention here is that, fascinatingly, anybody know how does Masechas Kiddushin begin?
Ishniknes.
Yeah, continue.
V'shlosha drachim v'kondas v'shnei drachim.
Exactly, right? Kiddushin begins with very clear, defined definition, right, of what Kiddushin is. How does Ksuvos begin? Not with that. Ksuvos does not begin, this is Nisuin. In fact, throughout all of Masechas Ksuvos, it's not entirely clear what Nisuin is. And so we said that this might actually represent, it's not just, it starts this way, but no, this is showing the nature of Kiddushin and the nature of Ksuvos, the way we open that Masechas. So that's a good parallel to this. So here we try to argue that maybe B'dikas Chametz on Pesach is actually not just a sequential reason to begin, not due to sequential reason to begin, but perhaps B'dikas Chametz on Pesach actually reflects something much more. And this could be teloy on the two tzedim we said earlier. If B'dika is just, lo b'dili and shimine, that's, we would probably say it's sequential order, nothing more than that. But if B'dika is a reflection, and especially because it's derabanan reflection, we see Chazal clearly perceived it this way as well. If B'dika is a reflection of the Chomer Ha'iser and the seriousness with which we take chametz, then we could say that maybe B'dika's chametz actually is a perfect way to open the Masecha because it crystallizes a key theme by chametz. That's the first nafamina. And these could be the two deos and tosfos. The second nafkamina is understanding the requirement of B'dika. So basically what we could try to say is that for the first dea in Tosfos, B'dika is sort of just this, very practical, technical siag, issue, right? B'dika is not anything more than just that. But according to the second approach, B'dika is a derivative of something much more. And so again, this is really the first one, but I'm expressing it differently, which is what is the nature of B'dika? Whereas the first thing is really, why is the Masechet open this way? Those are the first two nafkamina. Third nafkamina, which is again related, is the purpose of B'dika for all chametz. So here, let me ask someone, if I may, maybe Josh Pell. So Josh, what is the, do you remember what the end of Tosos, second to last point there, talks about chametz nukshe, and Tarovis Chametz. So what does Rosh Mishan talk about there?
The Tosfos talks about that the Gemara or the Mishnah in the beginning of Elu Ovrin is going to be Lashitaso on whether you're going to have to do Bedika or not on Nukshe or Chametz V'Tarovis. And Tosfos quotes the Riva and says that you would still have to.
Okay, so the Rosh, I think it's the Rosh there, if I remember correctly. Quote in Tosfos, basically, there's a machlokas at the beginning of Elu Ovrim about whether or not by chametz, by tarovis chametz nukshe, whether you violate bali or bali matzah. That's a very important debate. So that debate breaks down into Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So Rashi thinks it is a violation. Ovrim means bali or bali matzah. Whereas Tosfos thinks it means ovrim in a shulchan. It doesn't mean by Rai by Matzei. So the question is, why would there be a chiyuv of B'dikas Chametz by Chametz Nukshe and Tarovas if there's no Isser by Rai by Matzei? So for Rabbeinu Tam, maybe we could say that the reason why you are obligated to do it there is because by Rai by Matzei is just maybe one manifestation of the Chomer of Chametz, one maybe heuristic, but it's not exclusive. Meaning Chametz is always very Chomer, not just dependent on by Rai by Matzei. And therefore, even though it's chametz tarov nukshan, tarovas chametz, doesn't matter. It's still chametz, and chametz is so chamor. Therefore, we still require a b'dika. Okay, so we could say that maybe that's a could be taloi to some extent on why on whether or not it's a chomer iser or whether it's about chametz is actually more kal. a fourth nafkamina could be the comparison to notar. So where does this, where is this brought up, the comparison to notar? Let's see. Balikon in the first year, guys. Binyamin Brath from Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, the Mechilta. Yeah, do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I said the Mechilta.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah, explain. So say more.
So the Mechilta wanted to know how you know that Chametz is Bistrefa. So it says, so we see Noser is Bistrefa, and the Mechilta pushes back and brings many other Isiri Hana that don't have a din of Srefa. And the Maskon of the Mechilta is that you compare the four dinim of Nosar to the four dinim of Chametz, one of them being Hazman Gorim.
Excellent, good. And so we said that's something very interesting about this comparison, because by we usually would think of the Zman Garam, which the Mechilta brings up as one of the four comparisons between Chametz and need requiring for Tashvishi for Chametz to be the Srefa, and just like Nosar, by the Mechilta presents Zman Garam as one of the reasons of overlap. But we would think, and I thought this was a really good point, we would think that Chametz, the Zman Garam, is actually a Kula. It's not a Chumra like by Nosar. Right? By Nosar, it's, oh, Zman Garam, you know, makes it into this terrible prohibition. Whereas like Chametz Zman Garam is like a reflection of like, oh, it's sometimes Mutter, sometimes Aser, goes back to being Mutter. We might think of it as a Kula, and maybe that'd be our inclination or inkling. So it could be that the Mechilta just views this like, okay, we have Zman here, Zman there, it's very innocuous. But perhaps the Mechilta is saying something more, which is that the Zman actually reflects the Chomer HaIsser. Right? That, you know, just like the Radvaz and Rabbeinu Bachaye and Rosenzweig, the Zman itself reflects the Chomer HaIsser, that during this time it's so terrible. Right? And the Zman in some ways actually captures the Chomer of Chametz, and therefore it makes sense to compare it to Nosar. So if we think of it as a Chomer HaIsser, then it makes sense that Zman Garam would be included perhaps as one of the factors comparing it to the severity of Nosar. But if we view it as like a more of a Kal approach, then we could, perhaps we'd have to say maybe it's just, you know, an innocuous comparison that the Mechilta raises. Okay, so that's the fourth Nafamina. I see Trudansky, please chime in, my friend.
Thank you. According to what you were saying, so if you're saying that Tosfot would have to say, so why would you have Bedikah for Chametz Nuksha? So you might say that they still need to get totally rid of it, like it's so toxic, you need to get totally rid of it. Wouldn't, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but then you're saying that the Mandama who said that it's more about practical, because their shit depends on the fact that you might eat it, is now actually coming with a fundamental approach and saying, oh, but you actually just have to get rid of it because it's super, super acer. Like,
Your question is this, is like, if the whole point is like not to like avoid Bayar Bali Matzeh, but it's just to, you know, maybe it's to prevent the Achila, which is the Chomer, because Bayar Bali Matzeh is here, it doesn't that like revert back to the technical approach? So I think it's definitely not presented that way in the, I mean, in Tosfos itself, it's definitely presented in the way I'm saying, you know, at least my view. But in Tosfos there, it's like, it's clearly presented in that context. I agree with you that like it's a little ironic, perhaps. But definitely, right. Tosfos' idea is that like it's still maybe Bedikah is reflecting something very chamor, right, and itself. So you know, so it's a little ironic, but definitely look at Tosfos. That's the way it's being presented. Okay, any other questions? All right, good. But I apologize. I'm calling on people out, but I have to go another shear tonight. That's why I'm trying to save my voice a little. Okay, the fifth nafkamina I wanted to present was kind of jumping ahead a little bit. So the Mishnah Melech and Chametz Matzah, Aleph Zion. So I'm gonna cheat a little bit because we haven't discussed this yet, but you know, everyone's familiar with it. So basically, we know the Rambam later on preview, right, doesn't quote Kol Chelev, doesn't, you know, Chazir Tzurub. The Rambam just has a separate makor for Chatzis Shir, okay, by Chametz. So the Maharal Anach, and we'll discuss this, okay? But the Maharal Anach suggests, you know, so why? Why does Aaron need a separate shear? So what does the Maharal Anach say? What does the Maharal Anach say? So the Maharal Anach basically argues that the reason is because we would have had the Havamina, the Itzar Chatzis Shear would not apply, because since it's only Usher for the week of Pesach and not the rest of the year, right? It's the chati. We would see that chati shir wouldn't apply. So here, I think you have a basis for the more kal approach, right? That we see a tendency to treat Isra Chametz as more kal than other machalos asuros, due to it being more kal because of the fact that it's only asur 7 days a year. So here, I think you have something which is presenting this more kal approach. Okay, so that's like a fifth, perhaps nafkamina. We're going to explain it more later. Related, sixth nafkamina is the other issue in the Rambam, which we'll talk about again, which is that the Rambam loses lo yachal as makor for isurei hana, as opposed to the typical din of Rabbi Avahu. So the Maharik basically argues that the reason for this is because we would think that maybe there's no isurei hana by chametz on Pesach because it's only us for 7 days a year, and therefore we need to reinforce it. It's very parallel to the Maharal Anach. So again, this is another indication that maybe chametz is actually more kal than other machalos asuros. You wouldn't assume the regular standards of machalos asuros would apply to chametz Pesach. That's the sixth nafkamina. The seventh and final nafkamina for now is the iser chametz b'mashehu. So the Rishonim debate whether chametz is aser b'mashehu and the impact on whether it's bittel at all. So there are different gersos in the Gemara, and therefore the Rabbeinu Tam holds there's no iser b'mashehu in the Baal Mor. I think it says the same for the Rith, but most hold that when chametz is mixed with, you know, with heter, with permissible stuff during Pesach, it's not nullified, it's not mevatel at all. So even the smallest amount, right? That's why you're so many chamorot by Pesach. Even a smallest amount could create so many prohibitions. So the Rishonim basically ask, right, why is chametz so much more severe than other machalos asuros, which, as we know, is in general, right, is batel b'shishim. So there's two suggestions that we focused on. So the first suggestion was Rashi, that the reason why there's this extra chumra by chametz is because there, even though there, you know, let's say there are other ones like chelev, chelev and dam, which are also isari kares, is because there people are bedili minei, right? There people are, you know, separate themselves from it. So here I think we, you know, it's still mentioning kares, but it's kind of referring back to a more kal approach. You know, or referencing back to this more like pragmatic thing. But the Maram Chalava, I believe, is stronger, even though he also mentions Bedile, but he says it's because of Bali Roy Bali Matze. And Rosenthal suggests that he means this as like a shir and chumra of chametz. That's like, oh, because of Bali Roy Bali Matze, it's, and lo Bedile, it's Aser Masher. So he's also saying lo Bedile, but he's mentioning this other very important factor as well. Maybe that Rabbi argue. Maybe that's also a reflection of the chumrah as a shir in the chumrah of chametz. Okay, so those were our seven nafkamina. Why the Masechet opens with bedikas chametz? What is the nature of bedikas chametz? The third one was the chametz nuksha and tarobes. Why you have achia bedika there? The fourth, as Binyamin so beautifully articulated, was the mechilta about nosar. The fifth was the Maharal Anach, sixth was the Maharik, and the seventh was Iser Chametz Mashehu. Okay, good. Anybody questions? We're good? Trudonsky, we're good? Crane, you're being very quiet. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I'm not sure. All right. Yeah.
Hey, did we ever answer why Rashi, basically Tosas is Kasha on Rashi in the beginning of the Masechta?
Yeah, we did. We did discuss that. So, like, because okay. Ki garbish mekora. Yeah, there's a few ways of explaining it. It's like maybe it's like a shear. You know, not just it's a shear in Bali Raya Bali Matze. Not just like a practical thing.
What I mean to say is, like, if you can just do bittel, why do you ever need to do bedika?
Yeah, I mean the basis is for it. Yeah, well, let's table that for now because it's referring back to something else, but
okay.
There are answers for it. Like it's a shear in Bali Raya Matze. It just relates to that Ki garbish mekora case. Well, let's table that for now. Okay. The fifth section of the shear is we're going to get to the Rambam. And here we have a very important and critical Mahalach of Rosenzweig. And here we're going to present this really through the lens of the Rambam, but it's a third Mahalach. It's not just the Rambam. It's you know, our third, and I would say the primary Mahalach in the Sogya. To preface this, we mentioned that basically, like, the first parak of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah is like, very, very fascinating. It has sometimes like unique makoros, and like there's unique applications, and you know, basically every halacha like surprises us, and there's going to be a reason for that. But we should just know and keep in mind, like that first parak in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, like everything there is like is a surprise. And Tarobas Chametz will get to you also. So here I want to present four questions on the Rambam. Okay, let's begin with four questions on the Rambam. First of all, why does the Rambam deal with Hilchos Chametz and Hilchos Chametz Matzah? Now I realize it's a little circular because there is a Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Of course, he's going to talk about Chametz there, but really, I guess the question then is, why is there a chametz u'matzah? I mean, why does he deal with chametz, at least primarily in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, like many other Machalos Asuros, which are either dealt with exclusively there or dealt with primarily there? Why is there a separate section where the Rambam discusses chametz? I'd also add that something else that Ronsai mentioned, which is that even when the Rambam does discuss something in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, like in Tetvav Tet, he always adds like a little chiddush with it. He always has like the unique nature of chametz. So just as an example, when he talks about in Perek Tadbav, he talks about chametz is a devar sheyeshlo matir, and that's something we'll discuss later in the shiur. But he also says that this is true, like he gives us chiddush that it's true, bein b'mino bein she'eino mino, b'she'eino mino, which is, even though typically we always restrict it to mean b'mino. So, you know, again, whenever the Rambam passes, like even in Machalos Asuros, it's always unique. So we see that, you know, what's going on here in the Rambam's placement. Okay, that's question number one. Question number two. Let me say this in brief, and I'll expand on Chizkiyahu and Rabbi Avohu later. Basically, Chizkiyahu and Rabbi Avohu have this debate. So, Eitan, Sakla, if you want to fill us in, what's the debate between Rabbi Avohu and Chizkiyahu?
Rabbi Avohu holds that anytime the Torah uses a lesson of Losofa, so there's an Isarana b'mashma that includes an Isarana. Chizkiyahu argues, but says that with regard to Chametz, the pasuk says lo ye'achel, so that implies an Isarana.
Exactly. In general, Chizkiyahu disagrees with Rabbi Avohu. He also does here, but Chizkiyahu also thinks that there is an Isarana as well. Okay, so where does the Rambam usually paskin? So the Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, says the following: So clearly, there the Rambam, we have a strong indication that the Rambam thinks that you paskin the Rabbi Avohu, right? No chidushim here. Rambam paskin the Rabbi Avohu. Great. But then we have an issue because we come to the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, where he says that Chametz is Pesach Aser Bani Yeshemar Lo Yachel Chametz Lo Yehibo Heter Achila, and that's Chizkiyahu. So the Rambam seems to pass on the Rabbi Avohu, but here he passes like Chizkiyahu. Why is the Rambam diverging from his general psak? I'd also add that the Rif also seems to pass on the Chizkiyahu. He definitely quotes Chizkiyahu. And the Ran says, yeah, it's not really. Really, the Rif holds like Rabbi Avohu, but quotes Chizkiyahu's source because it's like more Pashut or whatever. The Rush, though, actually thinks that really the Rif does pass on the Chizkiyahu as well. So we'll point that out for now. Okay. So there, I think the Kesef Mishnah says that it's just because the Rambam is quoting it just for like a more Pashut limud. Yeah, so, you know, for the simpletons among us, it's helpful. It's helpful to have a nice, straightforward pasuk. Okay, but you know, why is he quoting a different limud? That's the question number two. Question number three, which is the Rambam. I'll put it this way, and we'll get into Chatzishir more later. I want to discuss like the origins of it a little more later. So there's a din of Chatzishir. We know in general there's a din of Chatzishir, Yuma. We'll discuss this a little bit more later. It's either based on Chazilit Sarufe. There's a debate about Derban and Daraisa and whether it's Chazilit Sarufe or Kochelev Lotochelev. So it's based off of Chelev, okay? So I might have explored that possibly. But yeah, it's about Chelev. Yeah. So the Rambam does something fascinating because he definitely passes like the Man Damar Tzedo Raisa. But what he does is that when he cites the Isser of Chatzi Shir by Chametz, what does he do? The Rambam quotes the pasuk of Lo Ye'achel. Where does the Rambam get that from? Right? There's no makor like that. I mean, there are different debates in the Gemara, and we have, you know, whether it's Chazit Tzerufe, you know, whether it's a source, but the Rambam doesn't quote something that's not there. Chas v'shalom, but he's making up a makor, right? So why does the Rambam ignore the general makor or the general standard, which he actually poskens? The Rambam actually says elsewhere that it's a, he says it's a halachos Moshe Sinai. Right, he's clearly posculating like that. So why does Rama have a special makor here in Hilchos Chametz? The Kesef Mishnah also has, I think, a really good question. I think Ramach also asks. Ramach also says this. Which is that like Lo Ye'achel sounds like it's like a full shear, right? Like Lashon Achila actually implies a full shear, ironically. So like it's not even a good source because like it implies a real, you know, if you're using a Pachatzi Shir, it's like a full, Achila implies a full Shir. Okay, that's the third issue. Fourth issue, which I thought was kind of interesting, was the Rambam in Aleph Beis. So the Rambam there conjoins two different Isurim. So where's my Rambam? Yeah, so the Rambam here in Aleph Beis conjoins two different Yisurim. Let me just get this open, so make sure I'm being accurate. Yeah, so it says, the Chametz in Pesach, Aser Bahaniya, right? So he quotes what we mentioned before, it's Aser Bahaniya. Shema lo yachel Chametz lo yebohet rachila. And then he says the following. Aminiya Chametz v'shusa v'pesach, afi shol aflo over b'shnei lavin, shenera lo yorei lachas or b'chol b'lecha, v'amnemar sol yimatzei b'batechem, v'bayirai b'alimatzei. And then, and then he talks about how Sora and Chametz are really the same. Okay, but really, I think the emphasis was on the first two things. Why is Bayarai Bayimate and the Isra Hanah conjoined? Now, you could, Taina, and then everyone's like, said that, like, you know, first, it's not only the conjoined, you know, you could say, okay, basically, the Rambam could have put this in a separate halacha at the very least. Meaning, even if they were sequential, they're right next to each other, it could have been a separate halacha at the very least. You know, here he's like putting in the same halacha and he's conjoining them. So my charusa. So one time he, Rosenstein was talking about in Hilchos Ishus, like the Rambam puts two things together and two separate halachot. So my chavrusa basically said to him, the Rambam didn't give the numbers. And so Rosenstein went on this whole thing about, yeah, the Rambam didn't give the numbers, but like it's based in the manuscripts, it's based off of like, you know, there are paragraphs, there are section breaks. So like, it's not, like the numbers are not the Rambam. The Rambam didn't say, oh, this is alpha, you know, but the idea of it, I think that's the Rambam like broke them up anyway. So it's not the numbers per se, it's not the Rambam like kind of, you know, put them together.
Also, I think Rav Rosenzweig highlighted it that he says v'hameniach here, like he
even, oh yeah, good point. I even have that I have that underlined actually even here, and I still missed it. That's actually a very good point. It's v'hameniach, right? So it's not just that they're right next to each other, that's the same halacha, but it's like really the two of them together. Okay. So we have four questions on the Rambam. How are we going to possibly, explain the Rambam's approach? So what we tried to argue was that the Rambam, all these choices in the Rambam are actually very fundamental, and they reflect that a very singular nature of the Isser Chametz. Meaning Chametz is not just, is not more kal, it's not just more chamor, but it's more chamor in a different way. And that is that by chametz, the Isser Hanah, the Isser Achila, relates to the chefsa, the achilas hachefsa. Whereas by other isurim, the Isser really relates to the gavra, the achilas hagavra. And so if the focus isn't about the maisa achilas hagavra, it's about the chefsa being consumed, being eaten. And so it's not just the maisa achilas being sort of associated with chametz being consumed. And why can't you lead to chametz being consumed? So the idea is that chametz's consumption is so toxic, right? It's so terrible. And so, and this is sort of a reflection of that. And therefore, you can't have any tzeirif to that. That's why, that, and basically that's what we're going to say is it's different because it's about the chefza of chametz. It's not about the gavra. It's isra achilas hachefza. Okay, now I'm going to try to, let's return to all of our questions and try to explain them, try to explain each of them. So the first one is, why is the chametz matzah? So of course we can explain that pretty easily, right? If this is a totally unique category of chametz, of isra machalos asuras, it's totally different, then of course you're not going to group it with shar machalos asuras. And when you do quote machalos asuras, you're going to have unique factor features as well. That's why it's not, it's put separately. The second is the, by the way, just make sure I mention the answer to that fourth point, because we're going to get a little sidetracked, so I want to make sure to get back to that. So the second thing is the issue of Isra Hana. Why is Rambam called Chizkif Isra Hana? So as is beautifully presented, right, there's this general debate between the Chizkia and Rabbi Avahu regarding, regarding, I guess, what the makor for Isra Hana is by Chametz, and more generally, whether Achila connotes Hana. So Chizkia the Isser is from Lo Yachel Chametz, which is in Binyan Nifa, which is important. Rabbi Avahu has his general principle. So what, broadly speaking, right, there are kind of two ways to explain Rabbi Avahu. So one way to explain Rabbi Avahu is like a technical, you know, this is how the psukim read, this is what it means, and that's it, right? Like it's sort of just like how you do reish psukim. But what we really tried to argue for Rabbi Avahu is that, say the first one's sort of like a reconstruction approach. We're reconstructing that there's also an Isra Hana. But really, is we say that there's actually something much more important here, which is that Isra Achila and Isra Hana are actually not two, Ha'ilechu Deikai v'Ha'ilechu Deikai, but really they're actually very much connected. And this can go in a number of different ways, meaning chametz could be the, achila could be like the super hana, hana could be like a form hana could be like a form of achila. There are like nuances with all this. I'm not, maybe it's because they're important shita, maybe I'll mention it. I'll mention it very quickly. Right, so the Rambam by this is the famous like Nikuda Nifla of the Rambam. So the Rambam basically says, why is it, there's an issue of why isn't there why don't you say that there's an Isser Mosif by the issue of Ein Isser Chal Isser? I mean, we generally say Ein Isser Chal Isser unless there's like a Isser Kolel, you're adding more, Isser Mosif, it's more, there's more prohibitions or whatever. So that you're adding on to it. So there's a famous question, like, why wouldn't Basar Bechal apply to like something that's already Asr Ba'achila? Because Basar Bechal, of course, is also Asr Ba'ana. So the Rambam basically argues that no, because Hana is a derivative of Achila. And because Hana and Achila are so like intertwined that like Achila and then you get to Hana, so the point is like you have to get through Achila first to get to the Hana. And so you don't, and then if that's the case, then you don't have an Isser Mosif here, because it's not, the Hana isn't present yet. You need to have the Achila first. So that's why there's no Isser Mosif on Basar Bechalav. If you look, the Kobe Tzahar, Rav Chanan, has like a really good Ha'ara on this, which is just basically what he says is like, it doesn't, even though it might not apply as like another law, it basically doesn't mean it's not still like extends. It's kind of like the kimlev derabine, but like the second obligation is still there, but it's not, it's still there, but just like, the base is not going to enforce it. Yeah, that's a, you don't need to understand that point. Don't worry about it. But there we see, Hana and Achila is like very intertwined. And then the other one was the Rambam about Basar B'Chalav, where the Rambam says that like, there Hana is very weak, right? Eitan, make sure I'm saying this correctly. See, I think there the point is that Hana is very weak. right? Because by nekuda nifla, by the point is like, oh, chametz, like hana is just like a weak derivative hana is a weak derivative of achila. But when the Rambam talks about why the Rambam, there's a whole debate about whether you classify three mitzvos for basar b'challah, one mitzvah, two mitzvos. Basar b'challah meaning could be, because it says three times, so is it three mitzvos, one mitzvah, two mitzvos, right? It's Rebishol, Isser Hana, and Isser Achila. So the question is whether two, one, two, three. So the Rambam, the Chinuch, of course, all the Chinuch, and other Shito count two. And what are the two? So there's an Isser Bishol, and there's an Isser Achila and Hana. So why does the Rambam count, why does the Rambam say Achila and Hana? So actually the Chinuch has an even better formulation of this. But basically what the Rambam is saying is that like Achila is like the super Hana, that Achila is like a super Hana. Basically, like Achila and Hana are kind of the same. So here we see Hana is kind of, like for the Rambam, it's not like this, oh, you know, this weak extension, but it's actually very much like, you know, Achila is Hana. It's like kind of the same. So I think there, like the Rambam seems to be playing up Hana more. I think that was like the point. Eitan, is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think Rebbe also, I mean, just because you called him, I don't think Rebbe mentioned this in Shir, but I when I was looking in the Kunun Nefla, so it seems like it was both formulations. He says, Lo Neser Ba'ana Elamach Masha Asar Kosov Achiloso, and then later he says, Lo Yehe Asar Ba'ana Elayhe Mutabanova, oh, no.
I think he has both formulations of like weaker and stronger, you're saying?
Right. In the Nekuda Nefla. Okay, I can't find it now. But yeah.
We'll trust you then. We'll have faith in you.
What?
Yeah, well, we'll trust you then. You're saying even the Nekuda Nefla, it might be that there's dual formulations, dual indications.
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, good. All right. So that's the general thing, like how you look at Hana and Achila. Fine. So the question is, how does Chizkiya disagree with Rabbi Abahu? So naturally, there could be a few different ways of explaining it. We'll just limit ourselves to two. One is that he could just, like Hana and Achila aren't so far apart, but that it's just like the, in terms of how you're doing, Sipsukim, Elecha, Boa, Lechidu. So that's it. Or Abahu says Achila, it doesn't say Hana. So, you know, that's it. Done. You can't be Doresh Hana. But really, fundamentally, they're not that different. Or you could say Chizkiya really disagrees and thinks that Hana and Achila, Lo Karav Zel Zeh Kol Alayla. They're two different things. So you can't say that, you can't derive one from the other. Okay, that's Chizkiya. Maybe two different ways of looking at Chizkiya's disagreement with the Rabbi Abahu. So the question here now is that Chizkiya has an Isser Hana, though, by Chametz Pesach. So the question is, how does Chizkiya's Isser Hana here compare to Rabbi Abahu's general Isser Hana? Is it the same? Meaning now he's just saying, I got it, and now I'm going to, you know, and now we have a source for it, so now it's just going to be put into Rabbi Abahu's general Isser Hana, or is it it's actually fundamentally different, okay? So the Rishonim and Achronim offer like a bunch of different ways for learning this Makor. We kind of mentioned 5/6 of them, so let's go through those, but with an eye on the end, we're getting back to how we're going to explain the Rambam, okay? So here we presented like five different explanations for how you can view Chizkiya's Isser Hana. So the first was Rashi. Rashi says that basically any Hana can lead to Achila and therefore it's Aser. So like you see that for Chizkiya, it's just like a very practical thing. It's very pragmatically oriented, right? It's about, it's nothing so significant. It's just that Chametz will provide you with another Achila. Okay, it's like a Gilui Milsa. But, you know, not so helpful for any Mahalach we're trying to develop within the Rambam per se. The Maram Chalava says that you know, like really all these things are kind of connected because like here it's like all about Mishtarshe Bezuze. So it's like financially, like they did, you know, it's you save money basically. So there's like a common denominator between Achila and Hana, and like that's kind of how he explains it. So like we're seeing a little more than just like very pragmatic, but not too much helpful for us so far. Then we got to a few other Shito, which is the Rashash. So Brooks, I feel like I haven't asked you to. Maybe I have. I don't know. Brooks, what are the different things in the Rashash? What's going on with that? With those Rashashes?
So he says lo ye achel. Well, in one place he says that lo ye achel would include any type of achila, even achilas klavim. And then in Bechoros, he goes even further and he says even like Achilas A should be included.
Yeah, very good. And then, yeah, and there's like a second thing in the Rashash, in Pesachim, where he talks about like kind of have to be like Hanas Kiloi, right? So it's not just like, you know, if it's just like about Hanas, like a form of Achila or whatever, then you're not going to start talking, oh, only Hanas Kiloi. Right, it has to be fully consumed. You're not gonna say that. So here we see like becoming a more fundamental like type of like hana potentially for the Rashash. But then the Rashash of Bechoros, as Aaron said, is that he talks about like maybe it's a reference to like Achilas Mizbeach or Achilas Ish. And so basically like the idea is that it's not about like Achilas Adam so much. It's really about the fate of like the Chefza, unlike the Mizbeach or elsewhere. But really, I think what this was like a lens into is like this Rashash is starting to talk about like the chetza of chametz, not about like so much the gavra point of it, but like, you know, the mizbeach, achilas eish behema. That's really for the Rashash kind of expanding into this like other perspective of chametz. Then finally, we get to the Malbim. And so the Malbim says something very forceful about lo yachal, and he says that what does lo yachal mean? The binyan nifal. It's a the chefza of chametz is not nechal. Right? The point is that you have to make sure that the chefza of chametz is not eaten, and that could be you got to make sure yourself, but also just broadly speaking, you can't let anybody eat chametz. Right? You have to make sure you're not connected to that in any way. And basically, what Rav Rosenzweig said, and this the Malbim was like the if you look at point, you want to emphasize one source that like captures the Mahalach of the Rambam here in our third perspective, where it's like the toxicity of the chefza of chametz, it's the Malbim, right? And this is why this is why the Rambam chose Chizkiyah. Like getting back to this choice of Isser Hanav, why Chizkiyah? It's because Chizkiyah's approach is not just, you know, oh, I'm bringing it back to Rabbi Avohu. It's fundamentally different than Rabbi Avohu. For Rabbi Avohu, it's about, you know, about the Gavra. But for Chizkiyah here, his Isser Hanav is different. The Isser Hanav is about the chefza of chametz being Necha. It's about consumption of the chefza of chametz. And so the Rambam clearly perceived this, right? And that's why I chose Chizkiyah, not Rabbi Avohu. So it could be just because he thought, really, I personally like Rabbi Avohu, but I want to, you know, give a good, highlight that everyone agrees about Hanav and Pesach. But I think really what the Rambam's trying to say is that it's the Limra of Chizkiyah is actually more accurate because it's lo yachel, it's the nifal, it's about the chefza. It's about the chesed of chametz. It's not just about the influencing, like the, you know, Maisa Gavra. Okay, that's the second point. Yeah, please.
Okay, two questions. One is that if we're saying this idea that Rambam really is saying the Chizkiyah fits better with my overall understanding of chametz, so if that's true, then like, does that mean the Rambam would say that? Oh, Rabbi Avohu would agree to that then. Meaning, once you say that, like, what's that connection between the two of them?
Right, so it's hard to know exactly, obviously, because like, you know, Rambam doesn't necessarily tell us, but you could say that really he thinks that Chizkiyah captures it much better here, but he's still really passing like Rabbi Avohu, or for this, he's like really passing like Chizkiyah. Yeah, but you could say like here his limud captures it much better, even if maybe Rabbi Avohu is saying the same thing, or maybe Rabbi Avohu is totally different, so you know, like Rambam's passing this way. It's hard to know, but I hear your point. Like, it's unclear, like, what does he think of Rabbi Avohu? If you're saying, oh, Chizkiyah is just, like, a better way of putting it or showing it's, like, sorry, no, but it's really all the same, then, like, yeah, you have to say something different. You have to say something for Rabbi Avohu. Yeah, but I'm not sure if, like, we specifically said one thing about that. I think, though, the Rambam perceived, I mean, the more extreme ways that the Rambam perceived that Chizkiyah had a different reading. The Rambam thought, for this, we pass on the Chizkiyah. Maybe, like, the riff, you know, that we pass on the Chizkiyah in this specific case because the Chizkiyah, you know, nailed it on this one.
And also, within Rashi, the Rashash, and everyone, I don't know if we really highlight like their perspective on the relationship between Achila and Hanah, or more just that they were both, the Rashash and the Ramchalau, they're all connecting Achila to Hanah. I mean, we never discussed, I'd be wrong here, but do we ever discuss the connection between the Achila and Hanah, between the two? Like, what is that connection as we did in the Rambam?
And it couldn't agree. Yeah, I mean, I think like I do think they're all in some way connecting them. They're all trying to chime in on like what this nature of this Isser is. But like for Rashi, right? Like Rashi connects it to the achila, right? They're like, oh, hana is really just like a way of getting to achila, or like the Maram Chalava is saying, oh, like achila and hana are kind of the same because it's just about like, you know, saving money. So I do think like they do take a stance on that. Good. All right. Fine. Well, let's move a little bit more quickly here. So the third thing is the issue of Chatzi Shir and the Rambam. So in general, we have this Gemara and Yuma and Ayin Gimel, Ayin Dalet, which talks about, you know, it's usher to eat Pachas Mikzayis and Yom Kippur. There's a debate there between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about whether Chatzi Shir is usher min HaTorah. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan says yes, and that's how we pass. So the Rambam says it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. But the problem is, we said here, the Rambam quotes a different Makor of Lo Ye'achel. So Rav Rosenzweig also thought that, you know, so how do you explain this? So the Rav Rosenzweig basically argued that, again, to make this very simple, like Lo Ye'achel again captures it because it's about the Achilas Achefza. It's not about Chatzi Shir more, you know, a Chatzi Shir, Chatzi Shir shows that it's just about I need to eat something. It's not about me eating, you know, about the Gavra eating a Shir of Kazayas. But here it's just about the Chefza being eaten. So of course Chatzi Shir is going to be Aser. To give a parallel example, the Beis Halevi talks about eating Korbano. So he says, like, it's not about, you know, you don't need a Kazayas because it's not about you eating the korbanos, it's about the korbanos being eaten. And so the korbanos being eaten is any amount. So here also, it's not about me having a chila, it's about not having anybody consume chametz on Pesach, which is occurring here. That's what Rosenzweig tried to argue, and therefore he thought that, like, for the Rambam, Chatzi Shir, Chizkiyahu's Makor is also, you know, the right one because it's about the chefza of chametz. As well, and that's why even Pachas Mikashir makes sense. I'll just say that we haven't finished this really completely in Shir, so you know maybe this is Orchaz on the Moed a little bit, but there's sort of two other points, which is that it could be that in general the Isser of Chatzi Shir is like a Klali Isser, but by Chametz the Chatzi Shir is like Prati, it's like the Etzem Isser of Chametz. Okay, that's one other point. And the other one is like, it could be a chazi l'sarufe, which is like, could be like a siag, right? Which is, you know, I eating this now, I have to make sure I don't eat the full shear. Maybe in general it's siag, but by here, since it's a chilas achefza, you wouldn't say it's a siag, it's a different nature, okay? But that way, you know, we're still clarifying in shear. Fourth and last point, right? Why do you have the Bahami Niyah, Chametz Rishuso, conjoined with the Isser Hana? So we could say, and I think this is important because here we're getting a little bit outside the realm of just like literally consuming it, but it's like the fact that the focus is on the chefs on both of these cases, this or hana, they're not practically eating it, and even the, you know, the bayar bali matzeh, this is the fourth point, it's like the very presence of chametz, it's so toxic, it's so terrible, as the chefs of chametz being around, it's contradictory to the themes of Pesach, and why there is a isher shehiyah. I don't know if you guys could hear my daughter in the background here. Just chiming in with good ha'arot. Okay. So chametz is like this toxicity, and the reason why chametz is, why hana is, you know, it's like about, it's about like being connected to chametz, right? Because chametz is so toxic, so having in your possession, like, the chefza reflects the toxicity of chametz. And so that also not only means just the consumption of it, but like having any tziruf to it, any connection to it, is also problematic. It's all about like this, the chefza, you'll be having any connection to that chefza. And so therefore, the Rambam's like reinforcing this by putting these two things together. Because both of those, Isser Hanaz, are the chefza of chametz. And also, Bali Matzah is also about this, the chefza. You know, you're not practically eating it, but it's about having a connection to it. It's so toxic, you can't possibly have it. Okay, that's the Rambam. Two other pieces, we have another important section at the end we have to get to. Two other pieces of evidence for this mahalach. We'll go through this clearly but quickly. So there's a case of machal behemas hefker. So it's brought up in the Yerushalmi, and it's a debate. It's presented first. It's presented as a debate. In the end, we say that machal chametz to a kalash shel hefker on Pesach is aser. Okay, Tor Shulchan Aruch both paskin this gemara, this Yerushalmi, both an important difference because the Tor says that the Tor basically says that Afal Pishino Nano Belklum. There's no Hana in this. Meaning, why would be Machal Behema Shahapkar be Aser? It doesn't make any sense. Right? It's not your Behema, you're not feeding it. You're not, you know, I'm not getting done with my feeding my cow for the day. So why is it usser? So the tour says it's usser, doesn't explain why. It says even though there's no hana, Shulchan Aruch leaves out that part. Shulchan Aruch is open to question. But there are deos, so the question is, how do you understand this din? So it could be that really the Shulchan Aruch is saying, and others definitely think this, is that really it still is, there still is a certain hana'a to feeding an animal. It's just like, you're helping another being, you're providing them, there's a certain elevation or hana'a through that. And you're happy seeing, the food, them eating food, you're a good person. And so that could be, how you explain this, why it's usher to do it. The Magen Avraham says it's usher because of your being mahane, the animal. And the Mishnah Berurah also holds us about hana. We'll get into that in a second. But one option is that really this is hana, okay? That's one option. The second option is what we were saying, is that it's not about the hana. It's about being mitzuraf, connected to the consumption of chametz. So are you being connected to the consumption of chametz here? Yeah, you're being machel, it's the behema. You don't get hana, but that's not the point. The point here is that the chetzer of chametz is so toxic, you can't be involved in a being consuming it. That's, and that would be further evidence for our approach that we're presenting about tzachetz shel chametz, not the gavra. Now, the Rav Rosenzweig added a very, I think, interesting diyuk, which is that the Mishnah, we mentioned the Magen Avraham says mahana, right? Mahana, the animal, by feeding it. And the Mishnah Berurah interpreted that as being an issue of, you're getting hana from this. And there could be basis of the Mishnah Berurah thinking this from another Magen Avraham, that, you throw it into the bathroom, you don't get hana from that, but you get hana from feeding it to fish. So it could be the Mishnah Berurah's other evidence for the Magen Avraham is about hana. But Rosenzweig thinks mahana and the Magen Avraham might be very precise, because even though you're not getting hana, you're creating a tseruf to the consumption of the chatzal chametz by being mahana, the animal. So by you getting hana, it's creating a tseruf, a connection to that. And that's why maybe it's also usher according to the Magen Avraham. Now, the question is, why does the Rambam omit this halacha? It fits perfectly with the Rambam. Great, perfect for a mahala. Why does the Rambam omit this halacha? So the Minchas Chinuch and Beis Halevi kind of provide two technical answers. The Minchas Chinuch says that the Rambam already used up Lo Yachal Chametz. Oh, sorry. The Yerushalmi there quotes Lo Yachal Chametz. That's a very important point. My bad. That's what happens when you rush. So the Yerushalmi quotes Lo Yachal Chametz there. So they're like, oh, this is perfect. This should totally fit into our Mahalach. In your notes, just put that up higher. The Minchas Chinuch says the Rambam used up this Makor for the Isser Hana already. So if that's the case, then the Rambam can't use it again here. The Beis HaLevi says that, and this is really regarding Rashi Shita, but the Beis HaLevi says that Rambam Pasul Chizkiya here, exactly. Right. So Rambam Pasul Chizkiya here, this clearly is only like Rabbi Avahu this Gemara, because Rabbi Chizkiya already used up Lo Yachel. And basically, Rosenzweig totally rejected this argument, because he said, No. The Rambam's not using Lo Yachel Chametz as a Gilei Milsa, as like a specific drasha for these sources, right? It's a perspective about Chametz on Pesach. That's the purpose of it. It's just, it's Lo Yachel is showing that it's about, the Chametz shouldn't be Nachal, it's a Chesta. So even though, so the Rambam conceivably could have used Lo Yachel. He uses it twice in the first parak. He didn't just use it up once. Because Lo Yachel Chametz is a reflection about the nature of his Isser. It's not necessarily like a specific drasha. Maybe that actually helps with Crane's point before about, maybe you could say that here he's using it as, even though it really passes like Rabbi Avraham, maybe for here actually a Lo Yachel is just like the nature of the din, and that's why he's invoking it. That's necessarily practically possible. I just thought of that now. Food for thought. Now, why doesn't the Rambam paskin it though? Because we still have to say it. So it could be that there's not enough tzeruf by Behema Shel Hefker. Yeah, that could be the basis for it. We won't go into this now, but the Beis HaLevi is an important piece. The Achshuve and stuff, you should just be aware of it. Fine. Now we're going to go through this last part here. Oh, one more related point to this. Question is whether that this din of Machal Behema Shel Hefker is only true regarding Isser Chametz, or is it true regarding other Machalos Asuros? So there's a debate about this. The Shaar HaTzion says it's related to all other Isurei Hana. Prima Gadim is Mistapik. The Gra doesn't extend it. So, at least according to one reading of the Gra. So, what could this be Taloyan? So, it could be Taloyan whether this is a din of a general, Machil Ka'ochel, that's like you're feeding it, you're getting Hana. So, if you're getting Hana, it's true in all cases of Isurei Hana. But if it's not about that, but it's about the Chefza of Chametz being Nechal and you're being involved with that, then it could be only a din by Chametz, not other Machal Sasuro. So, this is like a good, easy sort of nafkamina between our Mahalach versus, let's say, one of the other Mahalachim we presented. Fine. Last, we're going to go through quickly. I apologize for the speed of this, but we're going to make it clear, okay? The last is number six. The sixth section is about what is the status of Chametz on Pesach and the rest of the year. And so here you could really take, we'll start out with two perspectives, okay? The first is that Chametz is an Oser Gamor, and during the year it's a Heter Gamor. What do we mean by that? We mean is the following. The Rav talks about Muksa. What makes something muksa? You know, Bina Shemashos comes or whatever. Muksa becomes, this item becomes a muksa. After Shabbos becomes heter, no connection between the two. This is not, it's not like, oh, this item is going to be muksa, this item is not going to be muksa. It's, you know, this item is going to be muksa, and then like, you know, this item is going to be muksa. There's no connection between the two. This makes it into muksa. There's no such thing as muksa outside of Shabbos, okay? The Rav thought that the same thing could be true by Pesach. Pesach comes, that's the, that we've never heard of chametz our entire lives. 357 days of the year, no such thing as chametz, lo hayev, lo nivra. I'm being a little dramatic here, but then the Pesach comes, and that creates this oser of chametz, totally oser, disconnected from the rest of the year. There's an oser, and then after Pesach, it's matir gamor, oser gamor versus matir gamor. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. The alternative way of looking at it is that there's an Isser Zman. What we mean by that is that basically we look at chametz on Pesach and you know bread during the rest of the year, we look at it as connected. So like this is bread that is going to be Aser on Pesach, and this is bread on Pesach, this is chametz on Pesach, you know, this is chametz on Pesach that's going to be much of the rest of the year. So that's the... you know, sort of another way of looking at it, where it's like whether it's totally disconnected or connected, Isser Zman. Okay, hopefully that was sufficiently clear. If not, please follow up. I'll try to explain it again. Now, this idea, and we're going to present a third model in just a moment, but this idea is really applicable to three cases, which we'll go through now. The first case is whether there's a requirement of Haggalah, so whether requirement of Haggalah or Livud. So there's a debate in the Gemara of Avodah, not really a debate. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah basically distinguishes between Giulei Notar and Giulei Akum. And so he says that for Notar, in order to get rid of Notar, you need Haggalah, which is less, because it just removes the absorption. But for Avodah Zarah, you need Libun, which is much more, because you're basically there, you're like destroying like the entire, Blias Isser. Now, the question is, where does Chametz fit into that? Oh, sorry. Then the Gemara says, what's the difference between the two? By Nosar Heterabala, by Avodah Zarah Isurabala. And that's why you have this difference that manifests in Haggalah versus Livun. Now, the question is, though, we have to ask is, where does Chametz fall into this? So there's obviously, of course, there's a debate about this. So Tosos, in his second view, thinks that chametz is hetera bala, whereas the Ramban in Avodah Zarah strongly disagrees and thinks that it's isura bala. So how can we explain this debate? So there are really three ways to explain this debate. The first way is to say that this is really not, this is not a Chazar Shir about about Isura Bala, Isura Bala, Hetera Bala. This is not related at all to our discussion of Chametz. It's just a question of Isura Bala, Hetera Bala. How do we categorize that? And so you could say that, which side are you going to go to? Meaning, Avodah Zarah is really, really intense. So if you say Avodah Zarah is really, really intense, and you're only looking at, you know, does this fall into that category, then it's going to be Hetera Bala. Or you could say that Hetera Bala also is like, there has to be like right now in a Tirabala, there was no concept, no shame, there's no nothing of Nosar. We never heard of Nosar right now. And so since if that's the case, then that's a Tirabala. But the standard is really extreme there. So it could be one option is to say that Ramban thinks of a Tirabala as a really high standard, whereas Tosos is thinking about a Vodazara as a really high standard. And therefore, they have this debate. Tosfos thinks that it's Hetera Bala because it doesn't stack up to Avodah Zarah, whereas the Ramban thinks Isura Bala because it's it doesn't fit into this really mutter category of notar when it's cooked. But a second one, which is more important, and this was the Rav's suggestion, which Rav Sfai formulated a little differently, but just for the sake of time, which is what's the debate between Tosfos and the Ramban? It's precisely whether or not there's an Isser Zman, or not an Isser Zman, but an Oser Gamor versus Heter Gamor. So for Tosfos, when we think of bread outside of Pesach, does there have any, Shemetz of Chametz? So you think of it as Chametz at all? Tosfos thinks no. It's Surabala, it's totally Heter. Right? It's totally, we don't think of it as Chametz at all. It's Chametz is something on Pesach, it's not something the rest of the year. Okay? I was just totally off topic, but Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen has this line that like there's the whole discussion of Yeyush, right? So he says Yeyush is a sugya in Choshi Mishpat, it can't be a sugya in Orach Chaim. So I love that line. So I'm even Yavin. It's good. It's good idea. Okay, back to what we were talking about though. So Tosfos thinks it's like really this, Pesach comes, makes the chametz, afterwards there's no such thing as chametz, then you could say it's a terabala, and therefore it only needs hagala. But for the Ramban, who views it as an Isser Zman, he's going to think that no, it's really Isurabala, because we always connect it to chametz. This is bread that's going to be chametz, and therefore it can't be like notar, it has to be Isurabala. Now there's a problem with that approach, because we get to the sugya of Devar Shiyesh L'Matir, and the Ramban seems to take the opposite stance. Because the Ramban there seems to say, or does say, that Chametz falls into the category of Devar Shiyesh L'Matir. Now, it does fall into the category of Devar Shiyesh L'Matir. So if you're going to say that it's never fully Heter and never fully Usser, then how could you really say, it is Usser and it is Heter, but like, it's always connected, then it never goes from the category of Isser to Heter, because it was always a little bit part of the other one. So it shouldn't be able to fit in Devar Shiyesh L'Matir, according to the Ramban, if it's in Isser's mind. So therefore, Rosenzweig offered a third suggestion, which is that really, there's a standard lower than Isser's mind, which is that there's a Shem Chametz. There's a Shem Chametz in the Mikdash. We're familiar with the Shem Chametz. The bread during the rest of the year, this is Chametz. We don't think of it as chametz related to the Isser on Pesach. There's just something called chametz. But it's not, this is not that this chametz is going to be Isser on Pesach. This has a shame chametz. And therefore, when you're not connecting it to the Isser, so for the Ramban, that might be enough to say, okay, but it's still Isura Bala, because it's not, it's not like Nosar, where we never heard of Nosar. We've heard of chametz. It is chametz, but it's just not Isser. So therefore, it's Isura Bala. But it could mean that for the Ramban, here, there's a Shem Chametz by Devar Shiyesh L'Matirin, and not a, there's Shem Chametz Devar Shiyesh L'Matirin, to the extent that you could call it a Isser that then eventually leads to a Heter. Okay? You should just be aware there's a Machok. Yeah, okay, so we'll get to Devar Shiyesh L'Matirin now. So that's three ways to explain that first debate about a Terabala versus Surabala. Second issue, Devar Shiyesh L'Matirin. There's Machok as Rambam, Ramban versus the Mordechai about whether a Chametz qualifies as Devar Shiyesh L'Matirin. Right, goes from a state of Isser to a state of Heter. The Mordechai says that it's because Chozer li'Isuro, in his second answer, first answer is just it gets gross, but Mordechai says since it's Chozer li'Isuro, therefore it doesn't qualify as Devar Shiyesh L'Matirin. So the question is whether that's really an important factor or not. But we try to, and focus on, and again, like this question of like, how do you view this issue, like if you hold Isser Zman versus Heter Gamor versus Oser Gamor, would you call Chametz Devar Shiyesh L'Matirin or not? So the Rav suggested that again, by here, Devar Shiyesh L'Matirin has to go from Heter Gamor, from Oser Gamor to Heter Gamor. Okay, it can't be an Isser Zman. Because if it's an Isser's man, then it never really goes from Heter Gamor to Isser Gamor. It never goes from Heter to from Isser to Heter. Because if that's the case, then you know, and then it should be no, it shouldn't be Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So therefore, the Rav thought that if you hold it's a Isser's man, you're going to hold like the Mordechai, and if you hold, if you're going to think it's a if you're going to think it's Oser and Matir, then you're going to think like the Rambam and Ramban. Okay. And Rav Rosenzweig pushed back on that, though, because he said that, but it's simply, meaning if you play this up a little too much, the Oser and Matir, this thing didn't become Mutter, because this doesn't exist after Pesach. You know, you said on Pesach, this is Chametz, this is Oser, this is Oser Gamor. But after Pesach, it doesn't exist anymore, you said. You said that, you know, once Pesach ends, it's totally Mutter. It's not connected anymore, right? This isn't Muksa during the week. There's no such thing as Muksa. I've never heard it. It's two completely different things. And so therefore, if that's the case, then maybe there's not enough of a tziruf to say that this is Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin because there's no connection to what's going to happen after Pesach. So therefore, Rav Rosenzweig thought that maybe Isser's Man actually could be the reason why you would hold that it's Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Because there's a tziruf between on Pesach till after Pesach. Right? And maybe that's actually more of a reason to think Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin than the Oser versus Matir. Okay, but we see how these different perspectives impact the stance we're going to take on these sugyo. Final case, and this with this we'll close. There's the issue of not bar not, which I'm sure, topic in Yoredeya, which is I'm learning Yoredeya this year, going to come up a lot, complicated. But just the classic case of not bar not is also this issue of whether you have something called a heter. So the case of not bar not is essentially, basically the case in not bar not. Is Dagim Shalu Bakara Mutal Echol and Kuta. So the So you have this case. So where the fish is cooked in a Ka'ara that had meat, and then whether or not you could eat with the Kuta, which is a classic dairy food. So according to Shmuel, there, so you can eat the fish with milk. Why? Because it wasn't the tom of the meat was not absorbed into the fish. It was no same time bar no same time. It's a secondary taste. So the since you didn't get it from the meat, you got it from the pot, it's secondary, and then you can eat it with milk. Okay? That's not bar not. So, right. And so now the Ron says the reason why that's the case is because the taste of the heter item, the fish is totally heter, you can't really apply that secondary no same time bar no same time. You can't apply that to that heter. Okay, and so that's why the fish with the milk is acceptable. Okay, that's the case there. What about chametz, right? Is chametz considered to be heter, like the fish, or is it considered to be aser, and then not bar not would apply to it? So Tosfos, many places, I think, maybe Kofchet somewhere, and Chulin maybe, said, yeah, I think Tosfos and Kofchet and Chulin, but in a few places, says that for not bar not, chametz is actually considered to be hetera, right? And again, we could say that this could be for different reasons. But I think the question is, again, related to this, how do we view the Isser of Chametz? Is Chametz always a little bit Usser? Is Chametz, you know, not Chametz at all the rest of the year? Again, it's contingent upon these different views that we're presenting from the Rav and of Rosenzweig. And so here we saw three examples, not bar not, Surah Bala, Hetera Bala, and Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, which is all related to that last issue. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone. It was a pleasure. And if anyone has any questions, I have to run in a minute, but definitely let me know, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you, Avram.
Thank you.
Thank you, Avram.
Thank you.